Hey friend, welcome back to Bible Tract Echoes. I'm Mike McCurry, your host. Thank you so very much for joining me today. I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles, or barring that, if you're driving right now, or you're listening while your hands are busy, I completely understand. You just tune your ears, all right? I'm going to share with you a few verses from Psalm 78. We're talking this week about the household of faith. Yesterday, we spent some time looking at the scriptural mandate for legacy, a scriptural command for us to take this concept of the household of faith seriously. I believe what we speak about today very well could be a help, could be a conviction even to those that are listening right now. Maybe you have children in the home, or maybe you have children that have since grown. You can impact with your life, with your testimony. And though we have all, my girls are 5 and 6, I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes, and I have many more to make in the future. I realize that, but it's likely that something that we talk about from the Bible today could be a help. I hope it is. Psalm 78, verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Do you see there, do you hear the sweep of history in what is being said? In almost one or two verses, the psalmist talks all the way back to Jacob and Israel, these covenants, these promises, these compacts that were made between God and men, but then continues on and says, "which he," God, "commanded our fathers," speaking of a previous generation, "that they should make them known to their children." Maybe there, we're talking about a subsequent generation, or maybe even our own, but that continues on, "that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born." So we've looked into the deepness of the past, but now we're talking about a generation that hasn't even been born yet, "that who should arise," the Bible says, "and declare them to their children." And then there's a reason for this. There's a point to it all, that they might, these children, these subsequent generations that have not even been born yet, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. As I mentioned yesterday, this is a bright, shining spotlight, highlighting the incredible responsibility. This is a weighty responsibility each generation has to pass on the knowledge of God's deeds, his actions, what he does, and his character. Not just who, not just what he does, but who he is as well. But I'd like to zoom in a little bit more. We've looked at something of a scriptural mandate for the household of faith. That's our theme this week. But today, I'd like to zoom in a little bit more and talk about the impact a household of faith can have. And we're going to take as our example, we're going to take for some application to your life and mine, a less than perfect household from Scripture. You say, you're going to talk about your parents, and they sound so perfect when you talk about Chris and Ruth McCurry. Can I tell you, my parents were not perfect, and they would be the first to admit to that fact. It is funny sometimes. You know how this works. We bring up things, my brothers and I. I have two younger brothers, Caleb and Ethan, and in all seriousness, we had great fun as children. Were we perfect as brothers? No, certainly not. But we will bring up things, whether areas of discipline or things we did wrong or things my parents might have done a little bit wrong in raising us. And it's funny how the passage of time wipes away some of those things. My mother, to her credit, she sometimes can't remember maybe errors she made, but she also can't remember errors that her children made either. So it's kind of a win-win situation. And so there's some of these things. My mother has no memory problems whatsoever, as far as I know, except for in this area. And no, in all seriousness, we greatly enjoy sometimes reminiscing. Do you remember when this happened? And she'd be like, no, I don't remember that. Do you remember how you disciplined us? And you were a little angry when you're not supposed to discipline angry. And she, no, that didn't happen. And we'll have fun with that. But my parents know. They aren't perfect. But you know as well as I that families don't always look the same. And no, I'm not talking about the wickedness that our world tries to impress upon us, both impress us with and impress upon us, whether it be through news, through media, this licentiousness, the anti-biblical, they call it same-sex marriage. The Bible calls it sodomy, homosexuality. These things, I can tell you this, if my children, we try not to watch a whole lot of programs, TV and things like that. The old timers called it the theater. Our family doesn't really go to the theater for multiple reasons, but one, it costs a lot of money, but there's a whole lot of other reasons too. But if we're watching something in our home, in a show, whether they're just trying to be quote-unquote current or they're trying to push something, an agenda. If a show comes on with two dads or two moms, it gets shut off immediately. And very rarely does it ever get to that point. Number one, as I mentioned, we try not to have our children watching a whole lot of that nonsense, the TV and whatnot, just in general. But we also try to do a research beforehand. And these days, thanks to the tool that the internet is, you can often tell. And so we have a small list of approved things. You say, you guys are being too careful. No, friend, I don't want my children to think it's normal for something the Bible calls an abomination to just be flitting across their consciousness and across their eye gate and infecting them with the thought that this is, you say, you're just trying to brainwash. No, no, no. I did not mean to go this direction. The Lord must have it on my mind. Must have it bubbled to the surface for some reason. Friend, we must be very careful. Must be very careful of what we allow entrance into our home. Especially through something as powerful as media. I am 31 years old, and I don't say that proudly in any sense whatsoever, but I'd say that for two reasons. Number one, I have some understanding of technology. I know how this stuff works and how powerful it is, but I also want to let you know that there are some in my generation, I guess we're called millennials, and I was almost, I think it was just a few years away from being, what's the next one, Gen Z or something like that? I was only a few years away from that, actually. I'm on the young end of millennials from what I see. But I want to let you know that there are some of this often maligned, often denigrated generation of mine. And I don't say that with any bitterness or bad taste in my mouth. My generation deserves a lot of the bad press we get. But I'll tell you this, there are some, and I can name you friend after friend after friend, that believe just as strongly, if not more so than I do, that are around my age. There are some in my generation that still believe this way. What this old black book in my lap says, we believe cover to cover. So, friend, if you are, and let me say this to young parents, if you're letting your children, let's say this to middle-aged parents, if you're letting your teenagers watch all kinds of atrocities and anti-biblical agenda through their cell phone or through television, cut it out. Heard a man say about parenting, this was not the direction I meant to go. We were planning to talk about Timothy and his upbringing. Maybe we'll get to that tomorrow. I was going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I guess that's where we'll start tomorrow. Lord brought to mind a man raised many children, 6 children in the nurture admonition of the Lord. He has 20-something grandchildren, good man, pastor for some 20-something years. And he talked about how his father, an unsaved man, back in the day, it was the 60s or 70s, he talked about respect in the home and how he, when he married this man's mother, he said, I promised to have her, to hold her, to protect her, till death do us part. And I would not allow anyone, I wouldn't allow anyone to disrespect her. And I most certainly am not going to feed someone to do that. What he was saying was, if my children, if his children, this man, this father of this man I'm speaking about, if his children ever smarted off to their mother, there would be something to pay, that's for sure. But then we allow, maybe we wouldn't accept that from our children. Maybe you do, and you need to stop that too. But we allow a television to come in and blaspheme. We allow a cell phone to come in, and as long as it's in the privacy of our earbuds, it's okay. The Bible talks about whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are pure. That's a high bar to get across, especially when it says, think on these things. It's almost like it's saying if they're impure, if they're impure, if they're not just, if they're not true, we shouldn't think on these things. Again, I did not mean to get a little riled up. I would ask you, though, what are you doing in your household of faith? Maybe you need to parent yourself. You say, I'm a single person, young or old. Maybe my parents have gone on. Maybe I don't have any children left in the home or at all. Maybe you need to parent yourself in your household of faith today. Maybe you need to be very careful about what you allow in through your ear gates, through your eye gates. Where I was going with that was, we did not have a perfect upbringing by any stretch of the imagination. But tomorrow, I want to look at the impact of our legacy. I want to look at Timothy's upbringing. You realize he did not have the perfect childhood. And yet, he was mightily used of God. Accomplice of, he was a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. And God did marvelous things through him and with him because of his broken yes, his imperfect yes, his difficult yes, his household of faith. Yes, my desire is to take away your excuses. You say I'm a single mother? Well, we're going to look at Timothy's home tomorrow. I'm going to invite you to tune in. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. In just a moment, the announcer will be on, tell you all the different ways that you can contact us. I greatly appreciate the fact that you would tune in to Bible Tract Echoes. And thank you for your listenership. My prayer, as always, is that you have a great day for His glory. We'll plan on talking to you very soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracts, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.